Heidelberg Catechism Curriculum for Families, Unit 19, Lord's Day 17, Question and Answer 45. What benefit do we receive from the resurrection of Christ? First, by his resurrection he has overcome death, that he might make us partakers of the righteousness which he has obtained for us by his death. Second, by his power we are also now raised up to a new life. And third, the resurrection of Christ is to us a sure pledge of our own blessed resurrection. And our two main points. First, Jesus actually rose from the dead, guaranteeing our actual resurrection. And second, the power that worked to raise Jesus from the dead is the same power that made our dead, rebellious hearts alive to God, so that we might now serve him. And for our young children, Jesus was dead and buried in the tomb, but he came back to life, and when I get old and die someday, God will raise me from the dead, just like Jesus, and I will live forever. Okay, so Jesus dies, and then his soul goes to be with the Father, and his body goes into the grave, and 3 days later, Jesus is risen from the dead. His body and soul are reunited, and he is walking around on the earth. He actually, physically, bodily rose from the dead. And we cannot understand the resurrection in some figurative sense, like he resurrected, his message resurrected in the hearts and the minds of the disciples, or his deep concern for humanity was resurrected after the grieving period of the disciples. We need to understand the resurrection of Christ as a physical, bodily resurrection. If we don't believe in the bodily resurrection, our whole faith is a joke. This is what the Apostle Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, then we are to be found false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised in general, then Christ has not been raised either. You see, the Christians in the Corinthian church were becoming downcast because there were people that were part of their number who were dying. And basically, the logic went, if there are people who are dying, then obviously nobody has been saved by Christ. I mean, I thought we weren't supposed to die anymore. Christ died for us, why are we still dying? And Paul is quick to remind them that Jesus not only died, but he rose from the dead. Now, I want you to pause and think about the significance of what happened in history. There was this man, Jesus, who himself was dead and buried, and he was risen from the dead. And Paul goes on to explain, for example, in 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ, this is not just something that was made up, wishful thinking, but this is proven. And there was testimony and people who saw him after he had risen from the dead. Paul says in verse 4 that Christ was raised on the third day according to the Old Testament scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12 disciples. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the Christians at the same time, most of whom, in the time of Paul's writing, he says, are still living, though some have died. And then he appeared to James and to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me. So the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, is an historic fact, verifiable to the people that were hearing Paul's writing at the time. And again, think about the monumental weight of that event in history. I mean, that changes everything. Because Jesus conquers death, and therefore we have hope as humanity that the suffering and the death that we experience in the world will not have the final say over us. It's the confidence in the resurrection that Paul has that causes him to say, "Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory?" Jesus has conquered death, you see. Now you have to wrestle with that. That this actually happened in history. And you have to see that the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ about himself are authenticated by the resurrection, that the Father's acceptance of his sacrifice for our sins is demonstrated to us in the resurrection? This is a glorious event, and it's an event in which we place all of our hope. And I don't know that it's ever too early to speak with our children about how the power of the resurrection will be at work in them, that when they suffer and they get sick, and then maybe if they get old someday and die before Jesus returns, that they may have confidence that they will not be left forgotten in the grave, but that the same power that was at work to raise Christ is the same power that will raise us also from the dead, and that gives us great encouragement and hope while we go about our trying life in this world. And let's just close with our second main point. I want you to notice that there's a moral aspect to the power of the resurrection of Christ. A moral aspect to the power of the resurrection of Christ. Jesus rose from the dead, and the same power that was at work in him to raise him from the dead by the Holy Spirit under the direction of God the Father is the same power that has opened our eyes, opened our minds, opened our hearts to the truth of God's Word, to the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now to active service and devotion and repentance, living before him when we were dead before. I mean, think about that. We were not dead physically before we were Christians, right? But we were ignorant and blind. We were basically dead spiritually until we came to true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, a basic knowledge of the truths of the Word and a conviction that they were actually true, and that trust that Christ died not only for others but for us. We came to that only because the same power that rose Christ from the dead was working spiritually in us. And furthermore, that is the same power that is morally driving us to do the things which are pleasing to God now. You see that in your second main point on the study guide. The power that worked to raise Jesus from the dead is the same power that made our dead rebellious hearts alive to God so that we might now serve him. Count yourselves, Romans 6:11, dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And the Apostle Paul goes on in Romans chapter 6 to say that as those who have been raised spiritually by the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, I also want you, verse 12, to not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness by the power of the Holy Spirit, that same resurrection power that brought Jesus from the dead, that brought you to true faith. Now exercise that power in your own life, pleading with the Lord to sanctify you, to make you holy, and to enjoy the benefits of the resurrection in your holiness of life even now.